and then as soon as he breathes in, they're all gone. So you can imagine, right? You can take yourself as, imagine, don't think you're Mahavishnu, but imagine that when you breathe in and breathe out, right, unconsciously, and that's the duration of this creation, material creation, not just one Brahma, all the different Brahmas. So the first breath, that Brahma will have the longest life like that, you know. Because when he breathes back, they come back, right? Mm. Yeah, like that.
So then we cannot even say 311 trillion, 40 billion years is the one breath of...
That's for our Brahma.
That's our Brahma. So
yeah.
Brahmas.
Maybe, yeah, longer. You remember in Krishna book or in the 10th canto, you'll find that Krishna one time asked, who is this Brahma? Mm. Then all these different Brahmas came. Some had even millions of heads. Which means it's very inconceivable. How is that possible, right? Millions of head, you know. And then the body must be so huge to maintain it. Our Brahma is already big, huge, you know. Remember when he crawls down the lotus stem, he's pretty big personality. So he's crawling down and then he expands the universe using his yogic, the power invested him. So he does the creation. From the stem. In the stem is located all the different planets, the prototypes. And then he uses that to expand and they grow, planets grow big. You know, he's the engineer. Then after that he puts all the different jivas according to their karma and desires like that. Yeah. So that's how creation is manifested. So he himself is, personally he is material, but his material body is made of intelligence, mental intelligence. Yeah. So it's subtle. It's not like ours grows, but it's still material. So when we think of this technical information, it's very inconceivable. Because we are not used to those kind of experience. Our experience is not on that level. And therefore, we doubt those things.
So on the point of technicality, so is there only one Sankarshan and one Mahavishnu, or there could be multiple Mahavishnus?
No, there's only one Mahavishnu. Yeah. Huh?
There's only one Garbha.
There's only one Garbha. Actually, in one sense, they are only one. but actually, they expand into every universe. Yeah.
So, Prabhupada also uses the term connective Paramatma. So, there's only one Paramatma.
Yeah, there's only one. That Shirodakasha Vishnu, but he's everywhere, you know. Yeah.
The example is given, the moon is there in the sky and you have 100 different parts.
Different parts, yeah.
The moon is reflected in all 100 parts.
Yeah, it's in Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very nice. So it's just only one personality, actually. Ultimately, it's only Krishna. Right? Yeah.
Lord Brahma's body, you said, is made of
intelligence, yeah. It's subtle material.
So that those eight material elements are in that intelligence?
Yeah. Intelligence is also an element.
Yeah.
Material element. False ego is also a material element. Remember I sent you all the write-up? Sridhar Swami explains. Yeah, so it's also an element.
Yeah, but I didn't know that Lord Brahma's body is made of
intelligence. Now you know.
Is it like as we go up the planetary system, the grass body goes and then they
have the demigods have subtle body, of course. That's why they can fly in the space and all, you can't. But once you do yoga, mystic yoga, then you have the adhikar to transform yourself to do those things. Yeah, but this science is of a different nature. It involves the manipulation of the material elements. Okay, so we don't have the capacity or the intelligence to manipulate it now. But through proper yogic exercises, you can do those things. But that's not the goal, you know. The goal is what? Yeah, smartavyam satatam vishnu vismartavya na jatusi. Yeah. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That should be the goal. But yes, you can see how amazing this is. How the concepts are so amazing and the ability to do things are so fascinating that you may want to try. You are thinking, how will I will be if I have the mental or intelligent body, right?
He's our yoga guru.
Isn't it? We think like that, you know. I don't know, but sometimes I'm thinking, wow, how your body would be if it's intelligent, right? Isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's why Brahma is the most intelligent person in this universe.
Chief engineer.
Yeah, that's right. He has to have that intelligence. Otherwise, you can't create this universe. So we cannot take him for granted. No? And on top of that, he is a pure devotee. So why we need to know all this? So that you know how to respect them also. The demigods are not ordinary personalities. They are all empowered for a specific reason. And then we think we are so big sometimes. And then we minimize their position. And so that shouldn't be the case.
It's not necessary for all pure devotees to be in the spiritual world because Brahma is still doing the job of the spiritual master.
Well, he's doing his duty, you know. Once his duty is finished, he'll go back.
Or get a new post.
That's up to Krishna. It's not up to us to say that, you know. Krishna determines whether he continues to come back. But generally, most Brahmas, once they finish their duty perfectly, they go back to Godhead. And that's in the Bhagavatam also. You were saying?
I said, we hear that demigods are like Sakama Bhaktas.
Right.
But, so they are not necessarily pure devotees?
Yes, not necessarily. But there could be a case where they are. Just, okay, you take the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvara. Okay, originally they were Sakama. Yeah, so now they are performing devotional service. So you can't see them as Sakama anymore. They're actually pure devotees. They had the darshan of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Probably that Sakama part is also for some pastime.
It is always for us to learn, you know. Always try to understand like the position of Bharat Maharaj. Because for no reason he has to, you know, take that fall down. But to teach us that even at that level, you can fall down. He did that. Yeah. Just to learn, you know. That means he was willing to fall down. That's one reason. The other reason, Brihad Bhagavatam, is he didn't want people to see him as a pure devotee. Yeah. Yeah, to recognize him like a exalted person. So he fell down, purposely or so to speak. But of course, it's a pastime. So it's said like that. So. All I can say is I'm like astonished when I read those things, like wow, you know.
We also hear that the fall down happens, like first when person fall down, he first takes the position of a Brahma and then slowly he starts to fall down.
It is said like that, yeah.
So while going back also, it is like
not
necessarily.
Have you read anywhere like that?
I'm just asking.
No. No, no.
Because when you said that if in a Brahma's position, somebody, like, he does that
perfectly.
Go back.
Yes.
So,
yeah, it's just like Arjuna, right? Krishna says, if you do it perfect, your duty, and you're giving the results to me, then you are successful. That's pure devotional service. The same way Brahma is doing it for. If you read the Brahma Samhita at the end, what does Krishna tell Brahma, right? And he wants him to do, and he invests the intelligence to do it, you know. Then Brahma is doing it as a service to do this creation. Why Brahma has to do the creation?
Service to the
master. I know, but why is he doing it?
For us to have a place to enjoy our.
That's right, yeah. And that can only be done when it's out of?
Compassion.
Compassion, yeah. Otherwise, why would even Krishna do that? You know, it's out of compassion, it's done, all these things.
It's also said somebody who has a controlling propensity may become like Indra.
Yes. Or even Brahma. Because you have the thing. But if you have that tendency to enjoy the position, then you're not a pure devotee. Okay, so you miss the real understanding of why you're doing that.
Okay, so it can be that somebody is a pure devotee yet has controlling propensity?
Generally, if you are invested with the ability to do something on behalf of Krishna, right, then you do it as a service. But if you take it as I want to control, then it's not service. Because when you want to control somebody, then you are not thinking of Krishna, you are thinking of yourself. Ishwara Ambohi, yes. I want to enjoy. Yeah.
Balaram and Prabhu and myself, we were discussing actually just before coming here. So, Brahma is actually opposed, right? To, so, what about Lord Shiva actually, and then Ganesha also?
Everything.
Once you were thinking, sorry.
They're all opposed.
But in the case of Ganesha, he's also the son of Shiva, right, Prabhu? So, like, he has so many sons actually. Since it is opposed, there are so many sons of Shiva who take the post of Ganesha.
Yeah, in the sense, it's same like, you know, the expansions, right? In one sense, they are the same personalities, but different personalities can act in that position. Like Indra, right? If you read the different pastimes, the Indra's position will be given up in the next cycle, right? And who becomes Indra? No. No, Indra. Bali Maharaj. That's right. Next Indra will be Bali Maharaj. Yeah. So then he takes, it's a positive post. Yeah.
Right
now, so certain posts are given, Jiva is given an opportunity to do that post if he is qualified. Now if he is not qualified, then the Supreme Lord himself takes an avatar to do that. So sometimes you will find the Lord takes the job of Surya. So he becomes Surya Narayan. At that time he is the personality of Godhead. Otherwise he is just Surya the demigod. Okay?
So somebody had said, exalted as Bali Maharaj, who had Lord Vishnu's feet on his head, becomes Indra and then he gets tempted.
No, he's a pure devotee. Once you're a pure devotee, you...
We hear that.
No. No, please try to understand. Once you're on that different... He'll do it as a service. Because like Dhruva Maharaj, right? Once he became pure devotee, the Lord didn't say, okay, you don't have to become a king. He said, you had the desire, so I'm going to give you the desire and you enjoy for... 35,000 years. Yeah.
Sorry for the question, but that's my tendency.
Right? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But then you have to understand the things in the Bhagavatam like that. Yeah.
But one quick thing about Lord Shiva, because he's in a special position.
Yeah.
So what's the best way, maybe in a initiate course like Discover Yourself that we have to tell about this Lord Shiva?
What do you want to tell?
I mean, if they ask what is Lord Shiva's position as compared to...
You can say he's an expansion of the Lord, but he is not the Supreme Personality, you know? And then you give the example of the milk transformed to yogurt, like that. And that's all. You don't have to go and talk about this Jiva has take this position, that you will confuse them and then you will be confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because some of these aspects you cannot understand very clearly also. Because if you really study, Kailash is very close to the Viraja River and it's simultaneously on this side and near the other side also, Brahmajyoti side also. How do you understand for that, you know? You can't, because Lord Shiva is here and he's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that also will confuse you, right? But it's stated like that, you know, if you read some of the conversations, Srila Prabhupada talks also with his god brother Sridhar Swami, and they talk about Shiva, and it's like, it's amazing. But, yeah.
Shiva, we know in material world, is the 11 Rudras.
I think we should move forward, yeah, because then we get too bogged down about these things, you know. And so, one of the things is you all understand about the Pradhan, right? The inanimated material nature, and then when it's animated, it becomes Mahatattva. Right. So Mahatattva is, what is the difference? The Lord glances. What? So there's many things that involve at the same time, instantly. Living entities in, gets in there.
Time.
And what are the elements? Yeah. And then you have to know all the different elements, right, in Mahatattva.
24 elements.
Yeah, all those
five sense objects.
Sense objects, working senses. Okay. Then you have the ego and all those things also. Huh? Yes. Time, everything.
Super soul also part of
it.
No, we don't add. It depends on who, how you look at it. Some personalities, they include it. Some personality won't include it like that. So Sankhya, this is Sankhya. So in Sankhya, some personalities will include certain items, some may not include. But it's all there, you know. Okay, so then this Mahatattva of Srila Prabhupada, he's actually taking this from the Brahma Samhita, okay. So within the spiritual universe, in he says in one corner. So in one corner, that's where the material nature is actually started. The Prabhupada says the Mahatattva is assembled in some corner of the vast, unlimited spiritual sky. Now, even though it's unlimited, we say it's one quarter, one fourth, you know, of the energy. Okay, that's so that we understand this thing very clearly.
So one Maharaj came from Vrindavan, I forget his name. So he was saying that the creation is like a lotus flower.
Mm.
On top is Goloka Vrindavan, and as you come down, you have these various forms like Sankarshan and then Narayana, the Kailash, the Vraja, and so on. And in, when the lotus leaves bend, that's where in the bottom is the material world.
It's acceptable also, it's a description, you know, of a universe. Because the spiritual world is described as a lotus also in Brahma Samhita. Actually, Goloka Vrindavan is described as a lotus. And when the lotus leaves touch each other, then the different portions of Vrindavan come together. So Krishna doesn't have to walk too far. That's the reason they come together. But I don't know about the other way. That's the first time I'm hearing. So, but yeah, so I don't know. Because in Puranas, they will describe in different ways. And so it is acceptable. I cannot say that it's right or wrong. But yeah, if you want to talk about whole lotus and the end of the lotus, one portion of it, yeah, it's still one portion. So that's the main idea behind it, that the material world is one corner, one portion.
Usually we read it's like a cloud covering that part.
Yeah, because the reason they say cloud is because it's in darkness. Yeah. But actually, it's outside the Viraj River. So anything on the other side of Viraj River is spiritual. Yeah. So that's why it's actually a bubble like that. I think Srila Prabhupada told his disciples to draw in the first canto book on the surface. Yeah. So he made them draw like a big bubble, enclosed bubble. So that whole bubble is like the Viraj River. So to cross that, it's not easy from the material realm to cross that. Okay, then Prabhupada says that this part of the spiritual sky called the Mahatattva is only an insignificant portion of the whole spiritual sky. And within this Mahatattva, there are innumerable universes. All these universes are collectively produced by the Karana Dakasha Vishnu, called also the Mahavishnu, who simply throws his glance to impregnate the material sky. It is fascinating, okay? And as you can see in the discussion, you can get bogged down and you can lose track of the actual goal. But at the same time, you have to understand some aspects of it. Creation, how it's created, and so on. But don't let your intelligence be bewildered, no? Don't, or absorbed into the wrong aspects of it.
Prabhu, in confused about this.
That's why I say don't get it confused.
So one thing, like,
huh?
So like, Pradhana is impregnated by Jiva and it becomes Mahatattva. That's by the glands. But then when each breathing, universes get created.
Everything happens at the same time. Yes,
okay.
I told you in the beginning. But it's for our understanding, the sequence is explained. But it happens so fast that this is how the whole thing just grows like that. But the Lord already has his breathing. The Jiva has been put into the glancing poem scent. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Not FedEx, but this is a different technology.
Oh, that's the light.
Yeah. Yeah, it says like that. Very fast. Yeah, it's like a lightning. Simultaneously, everything is happening at the same time. Boom.
Rumpa Maharaj says, you know, repeatedly he said, it's not like, you know, because we think.
We are sequential thinking, you know. Yeah.
Mahavishnu saying, okay, let me go lie down.
Yeah.
Now let me look.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
He doesn't do that. Yeah, that's right. So, because of our brain, we cannot conceive of how everything can happen, boom, like that, you know. So that's why sometimes you see movies, you get bewildered also, you know, because you never thought like that. But after you see, your intelligence has come to a certain level, then you know this is possible. So the universe is created, everything is bang, like that. Actually it's bang, it's there. Creation is there, everything, is, no such thing as chicken or egg, like that, it's all there, you know.
And annihilation is also that quick,
right? Huh?
Annihilation is also really that quick.
Yes, well, annihilation we suffer, no?
Facts.
Yeah. Annihilation you suffer. So you have to feel some suffering.
We also see that in our day-to-day life also, like poor work in the technological field. Like when they query something, you get the data. But when you run a profile with the back end, you see how many steps it took to get.
Yeah.
Right, right. So in sequential, if you break it down, you can see all the different... Yeah, that's a very good example. So that's nice. Yeah.
So Harilas was saying, like he says many times, that when we read Bhagavatam, then our conception of time and space, you know, exponentially increase. So that's what I mean, what you're saying. The intelligence increase as we see something.
As you understand, you'll get this. And it's an amazing thing. But let's continue to see what happens with the Purusha avatars.
Yasyambasi shayanasya yoganidram vitanvataha naviradam bujatasit brahma vishva srijampati.
A part of the Purusha lies down within the water of the universe. From the navel lake of his body sprouts a lotus stem. And from the lotus flower atop this stem, Brahma, the master of all engineers in the universe, becomes manifest. So this is the first Purusha, Karna, Dakusha, Vishnu. And then from him, the different universes come. And in each and every universe, the Purusha enters as Garbhadaksha. That means each and every universe, there is a Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Each and every universe, there is a Brahma, okay, Shiva and so on.
What is the significance of Brahma taking birth from the
body? This to show that the Supreme Lord doesn't need anyone to create the first living entity also. He doesn't need a partner to create. Yeah. That's in one sense, that's one understanding. Yeah. Then he can do it. He can create from nothing. And to show that he is Supreme Lord. That's God. He can do that. Right? Because we think we can do so many things the same way, but he shows, okay, try this. Right?
Then he comes out of the nose of Brahman.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't understand.
Yeah, he comes out of the nostrils of Brahman.
Alright, so then this is the birthplace of Brahma. And he is the father of all the living beings. Huh? And he's also the father of all the demigods, everybody. He is actually the source of all the different demigods in one sense. Huh? Of course, Krishna is creating. He is the engineer, creator. Alright, then, like I was saying, within the stem of the lotus, there are 14 divisions of planetary systems, and the earthly planets are situated in the middle. Upwards, there are other better planetary systems, and the topmost system is called Brahma Loka or Satya Loka. So, in the stamp where he is born, everything is already there. But they are not ready to be inhabited or infested. They are like seedlings, planet. So, you don't understand, right? You don't think planets are a seed, no? But here is what you see. Once it's expanded, they grow big, humongous. It's inconceivable. Yeah, it's just inconceivable. And our intelligence cannot understand
so
this.
So, they grow within the stem itself?
No. Oh, okay. He expands the stem.
Okay.
In a trans-dimensional, which is either in the second canto you'll read, chapter 10, 11, like that, you'll see.
But still, at the end, everything will be within the stem only.
It is always within the stem. Yeah.
So, one Prabhupada disciple, Satsuru Maharaj, somebody wrote a paper on this. Once I came across that on internet, taking from canto 2 of the Srimad Bhagavatam and saying how to, from a modern scientist, understanding perspective,
mm-hmm. is
a complete description.
Yeah, but sometimes you cannot correlate directly.
No, there is no correlation,
yeah.
But it is written in such a way that
you can relate to it. Okay.
Prabhuji has a video, actually, yeah. There's a video also.
Video also, okay.
If I have that video, if somebody wants
to sometime.
Okay, so, and at the same time, the Garbhadakasha Vishnu also expands into Shirodakasha Vishnu. And he's collectively the Paramatma of all living entities. Okay, so even though within this universe, there is a Vishnu planet known as
Svetadvip.
And from Svetadvip, he is actually in all our hearts at the same time, and still he's there. Yeah. So and then at the same time, he takes avatars from this personality. Okay, the Shirodakasha Vishnu in this universe is the source of all the avatars for this universe. Except when Krishna comes directly or Lord Chaitanya comes directly. So then it's not from this personality. Which is what we are coming to. This is what this chapter is about.
So Prabhu, the Sri Vaishnavas, and you probably heard this question several times, have a slightly different understanding, and it's very difficult to have a discussion with them because they think, or at least they think they understand that everything comes from Vishnu, and Krishna also comes from Vishnu.
Yeah, they say like that. But I think if you really want to have a discussion with them, you should first read Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas. Okay, then it explains in detail how Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, which is what we are coming to. Even though it's very clear, and if you want to know this understanding, you can read Burijan's description in the unveiling of the lotus feet. He gives a very clear, still people will argue with you. Because that's how it is, you know. Sometimes we attach to some conclusions and it's very hard to give it up.
And all the movies are reinforcing that conclusion.
It doesn't matter really. Actually, it doesn't really matter as...
Not for us.
As far as I'm concerned, it's not a big deal. Because as long as they are worshipping Vishnu, I'm happy for them.
We don't go to preach to Sri Vaishnavas.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, we are not there to preach to Sri Vaishnavas. You know?
Actually, Mukunda told a very nice point. Unless and until we come to the platform of understanding and appreciating the oneness,
yeah,
of the different incarnations of the Lord, then you cannot go and go to the, you know, difference.
Yeah. We have all this problem every time. Then people say, oh, and then why you want to worship all the... If you are worshipping Krishna, then why worship Narasingha avatar, this, that? But then we see Krishna, you see. Krishna, in different mood, takes different avatars to display different pastimes. So that way we see Krishna that way. But a lot of people cannot see that and they have difficulties. So they have difficulties in reconciling that.
Follows the Goswami's works. One, yeah. Understands.
One of the things is we should stop over-analyzing some things. And also I have to be realistic. Okay, I can't understand these things. Okay, all I want to do is accept the statements of Acharya and move on, you know, isn't it? I feel that way. For me, anything Prabhupada says, I'll say yes. Go on, you know. And then if somebody comes up with very weird questions, I'm like, why they come up with this question? You know, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes at least I feel that way. Sometimes the questions are amazing questions, but I'm thinking, why I didn't think like that? I'm ready to accept the statement as it is, you know. So then I find that if you overanalyze things, then you will be trapped, because Krishna is not going to be easy to capture. So he gives you these opportunities to, you know, get your intelligence hyped up, and then you think you're going to suddenly understand how the planetary system all, and then you find you cannot understand, you get very angry, and then you try to ask people, you don't get the answer. So actually Krishna wants you to just surrender and say, I don't know, you are the Samam Bonam, you tell me what you want to tell me. Then you find your life makes more sense. Otherwise you're going to be confused. Half the time you will be confused.
And if those details are so important, Prabhupada would have given them.
Exactly, also.
He has given the main things we need to focus on.
Exactly.
There will always be details that we don't know.
Don't know. And Prabhupada said that also. I mentioned previously to them also that they asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, it's not like I should know everything, you know. If I need to know, Krishna will tell me. Yeah. So there is no need to know too much. But if you are the person who's going to conquer all the different sampradayas, then Krishna will empower you. And then Krishna will empower you with that knowledge. Go ahead, go for it. But anyway, you see, the person, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he convinced the Sri Vaishnavas he met, which means we don't have to do it anymore. It's already done. Why you want to do it again? Isn't it? Why reinvent the wheel?
Mahaprabhu is also showing with his example, right?
Yeah.
All this logic thing which he did in the beginning stage of his life, ultimately he gave up. It's not just to teach us.
Yeah. Right. When he was young, he was big. Yeah, he himself, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also had so much ability, he didn't bother with those things, right? Yeah.
A nice example is like Paradeva Vidyabhushan, right? When there is a need, Lord empowered him to.
Yes. When there was a need, that's right.
That's a great example.
Yeah, so the Lord say, I will speak, you just write. That's why he called it Govinda Bhashya. Just amazing, it just blows you, you know. So when you go and see Govinda in Jaipur, you just think, this Govinda is speaking, you know. It's a, say, this Govinda, he spoke. So, anyway. So, Srila Prabhupada says this is, shloka is the subject matter of Mahavishnu. Basically, he gives you the Mahavishnu summarize. So, he lies down on some part of the spiritual sky by his own free will. Okay, so he's saying he just picked the spot and, you know, sometimes people will ask, why this part of the sky? Right? They'll ask why. Yeah, because we're overanalyzing it. Yeah, he wants wherever. So Prabhupada is very smart. Rather, he's empowered to write nicely. Own free will. He lies down on some part, so don't question that. You know? Thus, he lies down on the ocean of Karana, from where he glances over his material nature, and the Mahatattva is at once created. So that's the other clue, at once. Okay? Thus, electrified by the power of the Lord, the material nature at once creates innumerable units. Okay, so that's the other thing. But it's actually coming from his body, yeah. Just as in due course a tree decorates itself with innumerable grown fruits, the seed of the tree is sown by the cultivator and tree or creeper in due course becomes manifested with so many fruits. So nothing can take place without a cause. So when things go very fast, we cannot see the cause behind it. But the scriptures break it down for us to see the cause of all causes is Krishna. Okay. The Karana ocean is therefore called the causal ocean. Karana means causal. So everything starts there. We should not foolishly accept the atheistic theory of creation. So the point is, material nature has no power on its own to do anything. Without the potency of the Lord. So the example he gives is Prakriti is a woman, Purusha is man. So unless they get together, you can't have a child. But in the case of Krishna, he can do it. Then he compares, we should not expect milk from fleshy bags on the neck of a goat. Okay, although they look like breastly nipples. Similarly, we should not expect any creative power from the material ingredients. We must believe in the power of the Purushas. So this is another statement he's saying. We must believe. Why is he saying that? Because we need to develop faith. Shraddha must be there. Otherwise, it's going to be harder and harder to understand the Bhagavatam. Unless you have, what is that word? Agyascha shraddhanas vinasaya, no, samsaya vinasaya. Nayam lokasti na paro na sukam samsayatmanaha. Right? 440 or something verse. Where Krishna says, unless you have to accept the scripture. For one who has no faith in the scripture, there's no happiness in this life or in the next life. Okay? Huh? 440, no? I'm thinking like that. I don't know. But you can check. It is 440, right?
440. But okay. Ignorant and faithless person who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next.
Yeah, so you must have faith in the scripture. It's very important. This is very important. So when you keep doubting it too much, then it becomes difficult to actually get the mercy of the Lord also.
So you're trying to fit everything within our brain.
Yeah. You can't, you know, yeah. This is like the memory stick, you know, you can't take and put it in your ears and then expect it to download, you know. Your brain.
USB
stick. It doesn't work like that. Rather, you change your consciousness. As you change your consciousness, the ability of the jiva expands exponentially, both in terms of understanding and in terms of knowledge. It's already there, it's just that it's covered, you know. So as we become consciously aware of Krishna and accept it, then he allows us, he removes all the covering for us. Then we can able to penetrate into this secret more and more. But the best way to understand Krishna is to? Yeah, is to love him. That's all. What is so difficult, Krishna says, Prabhupada says, right?
What's the difficulty?
Yeah, what's the difficulty? Just chant Hare Krishna and take prasad, that's all. But we want everything difficult. Then we say there's something. Right? It cannot be too simple. Yeah. Yeah, so now is it, now you can see it's actually the most difficult thing to understand. Vedeshu Durlabham. Yeah, Vedeshu Durlabham Atma Bhakto. It's not possible. You can take many, many lifetimes. You can study the scripture, but that's not the real thing. You cannot understand him just because you studied the scripture. Yes. You have to please him.
Rumpal Maharaj, I think in this time seminar, he said once, and he said, anyway, Krishna just wants your heart. Krishna just wants your heart.
Yeah, he just wants you to love him and that's it, no? But it's so hard, right? It is so hard.
So, yeah. As devotees, how should we approach, or what should be our mood when we are trying to read this creation part?
You see, in the beginning, when I told you how you read the Bhagavatam first, what should your mood be?
Heart should change.
Yeah, but then before you approach the Bhagavatam, you should have prayers. Right, you pray to your spiritual master in disciplic line all the way, and then you ask Sukadev Goswami to be able to grant you the ability to speak. But when we speak, you don't speak blindly also. You must have some understanding. Same like when the Vedas was written, Vyasadeva asked Lord Ganesh to write, and he said, you must know, understand what it is, otherwise you cannot write. So in the same way, when we want to give somebody unless you understand it and have digested to some extent, you cannot give it to someone else, and you'll be just bewildered also. So the mood must be actually to be submissive to the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is Krishna. Isn't it? He said, where is the sun set, right? The sun will rise as the Bhagavatam, you know. When they say, where has Krishna, now that Krishna has gone, where is Dharma taken? Yeah. So the mood has to be very... In humility you should read. In the olden times, they would be very careful how they handle the Bhagavatam. It'll be on the altar, they sit down, and then they... Actually, they do aarti and all, you know. And then they beg, and then they read. But time, place, circumstances, so... But then we want people to at least read something, and something can affect their heart. But for us as devotees, yes, you have to be very serious. And then... That's one thing. The other thing is you want to change. Unless you want to change, the message of the Bhagavatam cannot come in. You can get all the knowledge, the gyan. You can quote all the shloka. But it will not have the efficacy that you want it to have on yourself. So you must be willing to change. That means the Lord Paramatma in your heart will tell you, why don't you do this or that? Then you have to consider, talk about it, and then change your lifestyle accordingly. Yeah. It's a challenge, because you are fighting with the Lord, with your ahankar. It's not with anyone else, it's just the two of us. Huh?
It's a one-on-one.
Yeah, it's one-on-one. The Lord is just telling you, so, you're going to come now? Not yet. I want to think about it. Which is what we do most of the time, you know, I have to think about it. And then the Lord said, I'm still waiting. And which is what He says to Gopakumar, no? Mm-hmm. When He meets Gopakumar, well, He said, where have you been? I've been waiting so long. Yeah. So just imagine what happens when you go also, you know. It said that He'll cry, you know, and He'll faint. He holds you, he cries, you know. There is some painting I saw once, somebody drew about Gopakumar and Krishna. So it's like that, you know. Yeah. Whether you are this body, a female or male body, whatever, he is going to take a lot of... he feels a lot of separation from us. We think that he doesn't care sometimes, but actually he actually cries more for us than we cry for him. So that mood has to be changed. Oh, look, he has the thing. B.G. Sharma, no? Yeah.
There's another, he's gone also.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's another one. So, another thing, especially I can talk for myself when, you know, reading Bhagavatam or anything, all the time, you know, trying to know how to... Not to try to understand for our own self, and not to apply to our heart.
Yeah.
You know, how can I take this knowledge and present to others? So this is actually that kind of a conditioning, you know, at least I have.
Yeah, that's a good way. I think it's also a very nice mood. Did you hear what Prabhu said? Yes, so we study not for our own advancement in knowledge, but rather how I can use it to help someone else who's maybe confused by this topic, like that. Then you can read it. And then you find Krishna will reveal to you some knowledge. You'll find, you know, after a few years you go back, if you are making advancement, the knowledge that you couldn't get access previously, you will access very easily. And you'll be able to explain to people that you could never in your life figure it out. Suddenly it makes so much sense and you can explain.
I didn't mean in that way. So what I want to say is, the conditioning is that the other way, so basically instead of me for my own purification.
Yeah. Okay, that's the other thing.
Instead of taking the message for my own purification, you know, I just want to always like try to collect the data and then try to present to others. You know, it's basically external rather than internal. So that's what I wanted to take.
Oh, so you want to purify yourself also?
Yeah, but you know, I'm not taking in that spirit.
Yeah, if you don't take that in the spirit, then it's wrong.
Yeah, so that's one of the conditioning.
Yeah, well, if you're just data collector, then it's pointless.
We won't be able to convince others that way, right? No. We follow it or
Yeah. This is what happens usually. You know a lot of information, people get attracted to the information. But then when they really come to the crux of changing their heart, you can't change it. And then that fails. And then you'll say the guy is nonsense, he don't chant and so. But actually, if you really understand the reason why you are giving the person is to, you want to affect their consciousness, you want to make them become a devotee, and that's why you're doing it, then yeah, then the knowledge will make sense.
Hmm. One of the things we saw that even in Bhakti Gita or other people are advancing, if they later on they start asking a lot of life skills questions.
Hmm.
So how, you know, it really comes to that practical level, and if we are not able to apply it ourselves,
then you can't tell them how to do it. That's right. That's right.
How do I deal with this situation at my work? How do I deal with this situation in my family? Or so many things. I mean, not applying it ourselves, we just struggle with that. And
yeah.
And it becomes then evident, okay. You know.
So that's why whenever you're going to say something, you ask yourself, have I done this or not?
Yeah.
Then you haven't, then you cannot talk. Then you can say, come back in next week and then we'll talk. Come back in 6 months. So, yeah, it actually boils down to how you practice it. It's very important. Then it has efficacy.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's good you teach, because then it is always in front of your face. Right in your face. Okay, so what about you?
Sometimes people ask also, do you do that?
Yeah, so then you have to face that.
Even if we teach, sometimes we don't realize properly. Especially with kids, right? We teach them, we do that, tell them. But when we look at ourselves, we are not doing it sometimes.
That's the point he's saying, you know. So that the point is, you make sure you are doing it first. Then when you do it, then when you explain to them, you'll find, in my experience, sometimes because if you have done it sincerely and then somebody asks, you're not really sure, but you try to explain, the knowledge is given to you at that moment. And then you think, how did it come, you know? It has happened many times, and I used to think, how is it? Then I realized it's not my knowledge. The Lord wants to help that person. So you have become just a media for that person. And the person will go thinking you are giving it, but actually the Lord is giving it to that person through you at that specific period of time.
So in Telugu there is a saying, Palikinchuvadu Rama Bhadrudanta. Means the person who is making you speak is the Lord Rama himself.
Yeah.
So sometimes he comes and takes over. And
right. Like I said, when that Babaji who was complaining to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, somebody stole my quilt. Then the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him, the person who gave you the quilt is the person who took your quilt. He said, you are a Babaji, why you need a quilt? But So that consciousness should be there, that it is not ours to give, it's the Lord's to give. That's the other thing also. It's the Lord to reveal, the Lord reveals, we just have to accept it. It's going to be difficult in some level, definitely. Because we are not purified sufficiently to understand everything in the Bhagavatam. Because why? The Bhagavatam is for the Paramahamsas, and we are not on that level. So
when, as you said, the Lord reveals sometimes when you're preaching to others, you know, it's, that information is also for us to implement.
Yeah, then you'll say, oh, wow.
Exactly,
yeah.
Sometimes it becomes a solution for us.
Yeah.
When we're struggling for something.
But Prabhu has made him poor, but he's able, Lord is revealing because you sincerely probably trying, although you may not have it as a knowledge.
Yeah.
If you are trying to do it yourself, then Lord sees, okay, he will give it, right? If you are not sincere enough to try that, then Lord is not revealing it through us also.
Yeah, that's true.
There's also consciousness on that particular day, that's what I found.
Yeah,
one time,
yeah.
I was saying something and I said something which I didn't know, and later on I went into Bhagavad Gita, looked it up and it was there, that particular point. So on that particular day, somehow it came. And then on a different day, no matter how hard I was trying, I was not getting the right answers. So it is not like we are doing anything.
Yeah, because you are sincere.
Yeah.
Bottom line is honest, sincere. You're not faking it. Or to just show off, you know. Our process is not to show that we have knowledge, you know. Our process is not to go and defeat people. That's not our philosophy. You know?
Yeah.
It's Huh?
We don't want to impress them, but we want to inspire them.
Yeah, the idea is to show people that this process has merit, that it can deliver the goods that it says. You won't find in any other religious practice, they don't teach you how to love God. None of them. Only the Bhagavatam tells you have to love God. They all mention it, but they have no methodology. It's all sentimental. So therefore, we have the process, we have to do it to the best. And the best way to do it is we do it together, you know, in association. All right, let's go to text 3. Yasyavayava samsthanai kalpito loka vistaraha tadvai bhagavato rupam vishuddham sattvam ujjitam. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha. But he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. Okay, this is the Virat Rupa conception. Actually, it doesn't exist. Okay, it's not existing. It is for people who are neophyte. So for them, at least they conceive of, oh, this planetary system forms his body. So then they actually can conceptualize there is a form like that. But it's not a permanent situation of the Lord. It's not like that. Yeah? It's an imaginary thing. Yeah.
Blueprint.
Not blueprint. It's an imaginary form. Like this planet is the head and this and that. This is just an imaginary form for them to accept the Lord. You know. It's meant, like Prabhupada says, that it's especially meant for neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form. So by telling them this planetary is in this, at least they conceptualize that there is the form. Yeah, allows them to at least formulate that. To him, a form means something of this material world. Therefore, an opposite conception of absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord, as stated above. The Lord extends His potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord Himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. This is Achincha Bheda Bheda Tattva. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of the Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord.
So will the impersonalist understand the impersonal Virat conception?
They may accept that as, actually most,
they
depends.
They accept that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen.
So Prabhu, this is same as the universal form?
Mm. Yeah.
If
the Lord shows him the form,
yes,
then where the planets are, then yeah, he can use it to put the planets.
Yeah.
That way, yes. Yeah. But I don't know whether the Lord shows him the universal form.
So he gives him the blueprint, that's what I think. Maybe I have to hear it again.
Okay.
So that blueprint the Prabhu was mentioning earlier as a part of that lotus stalk. And from there.
No, the I know what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because the planetary system is already fixed in the position. So the Virat Rupa conception is based on these positions. Okay, so that's Prabhu is saying it's a blueprint. In one sense, yeah, you can say in that way, yes. Yeah. But when you say blueprint means it's already there, then you use it, you know. So that's why I'm hesitant.
Yeah,
to
not like that.
Yeah.
Virtual.
Oh, yeah.
Document.
Document, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know about the impersonalist, but Prabhupada says, for them, the Virat Rupa, they can accept this conception. And if they can accept that, then they're actually relating to the Lord indirectly. So he feels that way, Prabhupada says. That's non-different. Then this eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva. And it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is par excellence. This is his Purusha form. Huh? Par excellence means transcendental form, no? Not of this world. Or transcendental to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by his internal potency. And the formation of his multifarious manifestation incarnation is always of the same transcendental quality without any touch of the Mahatattva. That means no connection. Yeah, this is a bound. Text 4. This is all, we are all talking about the Purusha form, no? Yeah. No. No. All right, so pasyanti ado rupam adabra chakshusha sahasra padoro bhujanananadbhutam sahasra murda shavanakshi nasikam sahasra mauliyambara kundalolasad. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purusha who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms and faces, all extraordinary. In that body there are thousands of heads, eyes, ears and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and adorned with garlands. This is 11th chapter Bhagavad Gita also is the description by Arjuna, no? Oh, Sanjaya. You can see. So only by bhakti you can see this. Huh? With spiritual eyes you can see this amazing form. Otherwise it's not. Basically this form is spiritual. Adabra. Huh? It says adabra, perfect. So this perfect means it's spiritual form. And so when we have come to the stage of perfection, then we are allowed to see this transcendental form of the Lord in this manner. That's quite an amazing, huh? Thousands of eyes and ears. That's very hard to digest, yeah. But Prabhupada says, if you have perfect eyes smeared with devotional service, then you can see this form.
More than this, it's like more difficult to digest. How you can see past, present and future in one place.
That's why Arjuna got so bewildered and he became very frightened. You know, he was very frightened of the form itself. But Srila Prabhupada says that we have to take the information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes. So we cannot concoct those forms. We have to just accept it. And then he says, even in the material world, right, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. We accept some... Oh, somebody says, oh, don't try this method to access the data, use another access, and then it works better like that. So you just do it, no?
Instead of destroying the data.
Instead of messing around with. And then Prabhupada says, only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding Absolute Truth and its different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but he is in transcendental form to the expert servitor. Ideally, it means the Lord would reveal Himself to us if we are qualified. It means He will reveal. No, it's not that because you are expert, then He is forced to reveal. No, it's not like that. Again, He decides, okay, you know, I want to reveal Myself. It's not like, you know, we always think that we deserve. Actually, once you are here in this material world, you don't deserve anything. So I'm not making any fun, but it's a fact. We don't deserve it, but the Lord's mercy is the point.
You deserve one thing.
Huh?
You deserve one thing, that is, you don't deserve.
Yeah, we don't deserve anything, because you left to enjoy this material world. And it's like the Lord is the summum bonum, the purest of all glory and enjoyment, everything, and yet we didn't want that. We want to enjoy something. So therefore, it's a hard awakening for us. The reality is so tough. Now that we want to go back, it's not going to be easy. Yeah? Because we also think it should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, we have that thing still in our mind. And so it's coming to that stage that, you know, he will take away all that thing until we become hopeless. And then from hopelessness, you become hopeful that he will show me his form. then you, at the stage of bhava, you will be hopeful that he will show me. Hope against hope. Yeah, that he will.
This form here describes thousand legs and thousand arms, everything, and says transcendental form.
That's why I say you can't understand this.
Yeah, it seems like the universal.
Yeah, but actually it doesn't seem like that. He says it's transcendental. It's a very difficult conception. Let me see what you... No, even Prabhu here doesn't touch on it. No, even Burijan Prabhu doesn't touch on it. Yeah. Huh? I would say, because it's based on the Garbha Daksha Vishnu, he's expanded everywhere, you know, in all the different planets, Garbha Daksha. So maybe it's to do with the same personality expanded so many times.
Yes. So, whenever the demigods have some problem, they go to which Vishnu do they go?
Shiro Daksha Vishnu. Because they can't really get out of the universe to go to Vaikuntha. They go to the Vaikuntha that is like the, you know, like our consulate, or, you know, you go to embassy, Indian embassy, they get your chop. So there's one embassy of the Vishnu Narayan in Shiro Daksha, he runs the office. Yeah. Prabhupada gives them,
yeah?
Actually, the demigods cannot see. In many parts I've read, the demigods cannot see. They can go up to the shore and the Lord reveals to Brahma in his heart. And then Brahma tells them what the Lord wants.
In all of the mythological movies, they show as if all the demigods directly go to the Vaikuntha Loka.
No, they go to the door, up to the ocean there, but they can't see him still. They can even come up to the ocean. But you see, they can't stay there permanently. You know, just like when you go and visit, take a tour or whatever, you go to South America, the beach or what, you don't stay there for long. No? You have to come back after you finish your enjoyment or whatever. Same thing. You can go, but you can't stay. Hmm? Otherwise, you know, like personalities, like, you know, when the... Who was the... Muni who offended Ambarish?
Durvasa
Muni, he went all the way to the Lord's. You know, he went all the way into Vaikuntha and he talked to the Lord. And then why he is not freed from all the defects and problems? It's like that. But then he was said he can't, because the other problem is he offended a Vaishnava. So therefore he even though he's seeing the Lord, he's not allowed to be able to be free from the offense. So the Lord said, even I can't protect you. Go and ask for forgiveness. Hmm. It's an interesting aspect to see. Yeah, so this one I feel it's because the Garbha Daksha Vishnu is all over the universe, in different universes. So he has so many hands, so many forms. So in that sense, that's what I'm thinking. So that same person, Garbha Daksha Vishnu, one, he's expanded in so many ways. So, yeah. I mean, that's my realization. I could be wrong. All right, let's go to text 5 then. Etananavataranam nidanam bijam avyayam yasyam shamshena sriyante deva devyam naradayaha. This form, the second manifestation of the Purusha, is the source and indestructible seed of multifarious incarnations within the universe. From the particles and portions of this form, different living entities like demigods, men and others are created. This is talking about the Shirodaksha Vishnu. No, Garbhadaksha Vishnu.
But the source of
income. Yeah, because the Shirodaksha Vishnu is an expansion of Garbha Daksha Vishnu.
Okay.
In that sense, yeah.
Prabhupada
Yeah. All right, this is also very nice because Srila Prabhupada gives us how the Vishnu form also thinks. Okay, when he comes into each universe, when he saw that within the universe there was only darkness and space without a resting place, he's thinking, wow, there's nowhere to rest. He filled half the universe with water from his own perspiration and laid himself down on the same water. This water is called Garbhodaka. Then from his navel, the stem of the lotus flower sprouted. And on the flower petals, the birth of Brahma, or the master engineer of the universal plan, took place. Brahma became the engineer of the universe and the Lord Himself took charge of the maintenance of the universe as Vishnu. Okay, so Brahma was generated from Rajaguna of Prakriti, or the mode of passion nature, and Vishnu became the Lord of the mode of goodness. Vishnu, being transcendental to all modes, is always aloof from materialistic affection. And then he says this has already been explained, which he did in the different purports and earlier verses, so on. From Brahma there is Rudra. Okay, so Brahma creates Rudra from his eyebrows, or between his eyebrows, who is in charge of the mode of ignorance or darkness. So he's in charge, not that he is. Okay, please don't all. Yeah. He is not ignorance. He is in charge of the mode. To destroy, then he takes the entire mode into himself so that he can do destruction. To destroy things, you have to be, take the mode of ignorance. To do any destruction, that mode of ignorance must be there. Otherwise, we can't destroy him. Therefore, all three, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, incarnations of Garbhodaya. This is called, what incarnations?
Guna
avatars. Okay. And then from Brahma, the other demigods, Daksha, Marichi, Manu, many others become incarnated to generate living entities within the universe. So they all are given functions of progenitors, prajapatis, like that. Alright, then towards the end of the paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Vishnu who is the plenary portion of Garbha Daksha Vishnu is the super soul of the universal life, and he is known as the maintainer of the universe, or Shirodaksha Vishnu. So, the three features of the original Purusha are thus understood, and all the incarnations within the universe are emanations from this Shirodaksha Vishnu. Okay? And they are actually coming all from Garbha Daksha Vishnu. So it is not wrong to say in the statement that the incarnations come from Garbha Daksha Vishnu, because it's not, because the origin come from Garbha Daksha.
Oh,
statement in one of these paragraphs is exactly what you already said.
Hmm.
That Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu is glorified in the Vedas in the hymns of Garbho Stuti, which begins the description of the Lord as having thousands of heads, etc.
There you go. So the Lord is Paramatma is speaking. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So overall, he has so many legs.
Yes.
Many
hands. Yeah, that's what I understood.
And still, he's one.
He's still one. Yeah. It's amazing, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he's there simultaneously, right?
Yeah.
But he's actually the same Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu in one sense, because he is Garbho Dakshaya Vishnu. Yeah. But so therefore, he is so many places. That means he has so many arms, so many helmets. Only a pure devotee can see him everywhere. Yeah. Okay, so are we ready, Prabhu?
5 more minutes.
5 more minutes. So we're going to take a break, eh? In 5 more minutes. Yeah. But this is what the Bhagavatam is about. Huh? We come together and we discuss and we enjoy about the Lord. So nothing else is mattered. Actually not important, you know. So we cherish that and we make purification process. Easier actually for ourselves, our own hearts.
But just a question, knowing about this creation and this, how does it actually purify us in the sense to know about the Lord's greatness?
Yeah. Yes. Whatever he does, his glorification is great. Whatever he does is great anyway. So, for you see, there are different kinds of living entities, you know. Someone must know how this creation took place. Otherwise, they cannot accept that I'm created. So then you explain to them, and I've seen it. Sometimes you explain to them how this creation, they are struck with the awe that, you know, with that, and they accept it. But if you just say the Lord created this creation, how did he create? Then you give them actually, this is how the creation comes. Then he glances, the energies combine, the atoms combine, and then they create universes. And they're like, is that in your scripture? Yes. Oh, okay, this is good. And then they buy a book or they take a book, you know. So it is important because then we are giving them the opportunity to take up devotional service. Yeah. And then you get purified. So that's why we should know these things. We don't have to know in detail many things. Even if somebody asks you, you don't know, you can say, let me go and check and I'll get back to you. Because all the answers are in our books. It's only we don't understand it clearly. That's all. There was one pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya puts a seed of the mango in the ground and a mango tree grows. And then thousands of mangoes, you know, comes down and the mangoes all come down so the devotees can eat. And he described that the mangoes had no skin.
And no seeds.
And no seeds, yeah. How do you understand this thing, right? So I've heard one explanation. My Guru Maharaj said the skin is so thin that you can eat it and it's as good as no skin. Right? Like apple, you eat an apple, right? You eat it with the skin, but it's as good as no skin, the apple, yeah. Or some oranges are very thin like that. Cherries like that. Hmm? Just amazing.
It's
no?
Not genetically.
Not GMO, no? Genetically modified.
I also heard that, like, when we know how great, or like, when we read how great the Lord is,
yeah,
that inspires the surrender. Like, we know that person takes care of us. Like,
you have to come to the point to know His greatness, then you will be able to surrender. Yeah.
I was listening to Tamash Maharaj lecture in the creation. He told all devotees should try to know, should read the Bhagavatam, you know, it's there in second canto, it's there in third canto, it's there in fifth canto, so many places there.
Creation, yes, even. Second and third canto.
So you have to understand, you have to try to understand this. If you don't understand this, you know, then you will not understand Krishna. So he's putting so much emphasis.
Yeah,
yes.
Actually what the Madhiji Shyamala said was true, because when you study, then you know how powerful Krishna is, then you will have to surrender. Otherwise, we will not surrender in a sense. We always minimize the position of the Lord.
Equal,
yeah, but he's not. He's
Krishna for
yes. So that mood of surrender will develop, oh, he's great. And then you see the same mood exhibited when Arjuna says to Krishna, right? I don't know what to do and I'm giving up everything. And then he says, you are Kaibam, you know, important and all. That the mood changes at that moment. He becomes very grave because he takes the position of guru. And he wants to instruct, so his mood changes. So the guru is like that also when he wants to teach. He's not, hey, hi, you know, disciple, no, right? He's like heavy, yeah. So the mood changes. So why? Because then he has surrendered, he wants to know what the truth is. So we haven't really surrendered yet. So in this congregation of devotees, we appreciate Krishna, then we learn to surrender. So one or two of us start surrendering more, the other will be able to follow the surrendering process. If everyone wants to show up, then everyone takes the wrong mood, you know, arrogant mood. So then we cannot make advancement. So it's important to do this. Ready? All right, so we'll stop here. So we'll take 15 minutes break. We'll start at 4:30.